And welcome to the Midday with Norman here.
And Stephanie over here.
And Pavel Jumppanen.
Pavel Jumppanen is a pianist from Finland, and he's here to perform the Emperor Concerto of Beethoven tonight with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra. Welcome, Pavel.
Thank you so much.
We haven't had someone of your age in a long time.
We haven't?
Well,
how old is he?
You mean young or old?
You won the first prize of your country's national competition when you were 19, and you've been playing ever since.
Yeah, I guess it's beginning to be almost, 15, 16 years now.
So it's, really?
It's kind of exciting, yeah.
I got the age wrong.
He just looks a lot younger than
that. Yes.
Yeah.
But that's a lot of piano music that you can play in that length of time.
Well, certainly. It's actually a nice age. I'm 34 now. And every now and then I get into a situation where I'm either coaching a piece or playing a piece, and I have to kind of realize that, my gosh, I've been playing this piece for 20 years or 25 years or something like that. It sounds really weird because you always were used to sort of, just doing things for the first time and so on. I guess at the Emperor I played for the first time, I guess it's almost 16, 17 years.
Well, you must have it down by now.
I hope so, certainly. Hope so. Yeah.
With the big performance tonight. It's an unusual concerto in that the piano, you hear from it almost immediately.
Yeah, piano certainly opens it. Beethoven came up with this idea. Well, it wasn't entirely fresh. I think that Mozart did it a couple times. It sort of had this surprise opening by the piano, following the very first measures of the orchestra immediately, and Beethoven certainly did it in his fourth and fifth concertos, and the opening of the fifth is almost like a commentary on this sort of idea of opening with a piano, because he thrives into these incredible, very sort of elaborate cadences in the very opening. But it's fun to play.
Is it harder to start a concerto like that? I mean, I realize it starts at least immediately fairly simply, but is it harder to jump right in the beginning of a piece as opposed to having an orchestral build-up?
Actually, it's pretty nice, because sometimes, especially if you have a very long sort of orchestral tutti in the beginning, like Brahms D minor, you have 5 minutes of time to get nervous on stage.
And so I guess
you can just sort of play yourself in, and then you have your 5 minutes or three and a half minutes or whatnot to sort of contemplate what just happened.
Dive right in.
Right.
We'll be listening to some of your recordings of Beethoven, and you're here to play Beethoven. Is that your focus? Is that your specialty?
Lately, it certainly has been. I've been doing this complete piano sonatas, Beethoven piano sonatas cycle. Adventure, which I did in Boston over a couple seasons, just ended last December, and I did the same thing in Finland also during the past couple seasons, and so I always played a lot of Beethoven, but these past 2 years have been a real focused time into that, and so now it's really nice to play the concertos, because there's so much more that you can see in the music after having gone through all the sonatas. But I have other interests as well. Finnish music, contemporary music, older music, Bach, Russian music, Chopin Liszt. So there's lots.
That's the nice thing about the piano. There is a pretty broad repertory for it. I am sort of curious about Finnish music, though. I mean, the most famous composer in Finland still would be Sibelius. So he didn't write a lot of piano music, though, did he?
Well, he actually wrote a lot of small pieces for piano. He didn't write a big concerto or a big sonata or anything like that. But there are a number of small piano pieces. In fact, I think over 100. Some of them are really, really wonderful and sort of also serious in a sense that he would write some sonatinas while he was writing some of his sort of more serious symphonies. And some of the music that appears in the symphonies you can also find in these little piano pieces. But then he also wrote a number of these sort of salon pieces, which was his means of putting bread on the table, really, for the family, because he really was writing his symphonies always for a very long period of time, so he had to publish something, so he sort of very openly said that, I'm writing these little pieces so that I can feed my kids.
Well, it was kind of the same way for Franz Schubert, so
yeah.
There's nothing new there.
Yeah,
either.
Yeah.
And you've also released a recording of the music of Pierre Boulez. Is that correct?
This is true. Yes, this was really a wonderful opportunity for me, which happened a few years ago. I had been playing Boulez's Second Sonata, and my teacher at that time organized a meeting with Boulez, and he kind of liked it, and he sort of helped with the idea of actually recording them all, and so I did. There are three sonatas, and the CD came out, I think, three or four years ago. Very different from Beethoven, yes. obviously this kind of big avant-garde classics of the 20th century, but really great stuff. And he really looks up to Beethoven in some of those pieces, especially the Second Sonata, which he has said was sort of modeled after Hammerklavier and the Hammerklavier Sonata. And in fact, I actually asked Boulez on one of those meetings about which repertoire he would suggest me to perform with the Second Sonata. And he said that, well, this may sound funny, but Hammerklavier. And well, I actually haven't done it yet, but I am planning to at some point.
Well, speaking of Beethoven, let's hear some of Pauli Jumppinen's Beethoven performances here. We thought we'd start modestly, at least in terms of length, with the scherzo from the Piano Sonata in A, which is one of the first. It's listed as Opus 2, Number 2 by Beethoven. It's already a fully formed piano sonata, though, nothing small about it.
This is a performance from the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum in Boston.
Our guest today, Pavle Jumppinen, with just a taste of Beethoven there from the Piano Sonata in A, Opus 2, Number 2, an early work, almost like a little country dance there.
Yeah, certainly. Beethoven was using a lot of this popular genres in his music. That's why he's also regarded as somewhat, you know, postmodernist composer, which is fine, funny, since we're talking about someone who existed a couple of hundred years ago. But he was keen in using all sorts of street dances and marches and all that throughout his career.
Yeah, he actually wrote a series of little Nördlinger dances and some other dances just to be performed in the Vienna woods.
Yes,
out there.
Yes.
Just wrote it for some musician friends to be out there playing among the trees.
Right.
The concerto that you're performing tonight is the last one that he wrote, so it's more on the romantic end than on the classical end. Are you working with the cadenzas in any special way? Are you doing them exactly as printed?
Oh, this is a large, big question. Exactly as printed. There's actually so little information on the page. You have to. I always think that it's a bit of detective work that you have to get into in order to finding out how the thing should sound. And also, I think that we shouldn't be too historic about things. It's impossible to recreate the sound world of 200 years ago. You just kind of have to try to understand the piece for yourself. And then, you know, everything that has to do with timing and rubato and use of pedal and use of feeling, it's a big, big mystery. And so, what can I say?
And apparently Beethoven was known just for jotting down a few notes here and there for some of his own performances. And
yeah, no, his performances have been described as very wild.
yes.
Yes,
he used not unusual to have some accidents during those performances.
Yeah, it was interesting. Music was changing and I guess everything was changing at those times. He was sort of brought into this almost like gallant music world and he had his own background in Bonn before he came to Vienna, which was far more sort of diverse than the Viennese scene, and then he sort of learned this Viennese high style or the classical Viennese style, but he still kept this energy of his early influences from Bonn, and so it was kind of this mixture of this wishes to learn to compose properly, which he really did, and then this sort of very personal, very strong voice, which comes out in his works and certainly came out in his performances as well.
Yes, well, that's what makes him unique, and that's what creates style.
Mm.
Shall we see what the final movement of that same sonata sounds like for contrast in the form of a rondo?
Again, from the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum, our guest, Pavle Jumppinen.
nice soft landing after some of those livelier interludes in the Beethoven Piano Sonata.
That's our guest, Pavel Jumpinen, at the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum in Boston. That was obviously a live performance, and he'll be here. Well, he is here. He'll be appearing tonight with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra at the Capitol Theater in the Overture Center doing the Beethoven Emperor Concerto. You mentioned while we were talking during the music that Beethoven was criticized by his contemporaries for that wild, you know, chromaticism and some of the...
Yeah, it's really exciting to read about these things and the early response when obviously he hadn't written his Fifth Symphony or Ninth Symphony, and people knew that his talent, but he was sort of openly criticized, as I think that all the composers at that time were. But yeah, so this particular section in this particular sonata, many people thought that it was too wild for such a sort of sunny movement, and people like Haydn didn't appreciate this, and Hummel certainly not. And so I guess that Haydn was a big figure at that time, sort of the grand old man of Viennese composing at that time, even though he didn't live in Vienna. But Haydn preferred Beethoven's sort of classical works that were modeled after Mozart or himself, really. But this sort of a more private, darker side of Beethoven wasn't too much appreciated by him.
And it was just beginning to emerge.
Well, yes, when you think about it, it was the time when music was, to a great extent, making this transition from music for patrons to music for the masses. Mm-hmm. And Haydn would have been playing for patrons, and Mozart, to a great extent, for patrons, but Beethoven much more into these public concerts and to sort of expose one's personality that way must have been a little startling for a lot of those patrons.
Yeah, no, I think this is exactly the sort of correct analysis of what was going on. His really most popular piece during his career was the Symphony for the Victory of Wellington, which he wrote for the Congress of Vienna, and he became really very, very popular, almost like a pop star of that time.
Well, it's kind of a pop piece.
Yeah, none of his sort of more serious works never came to that. I guess Beethoven really changed the world, because in the traditional sense, he was almost like a failure as a composer, because to be a success as a composer, you would write operas, serious operas, and so he was fighting with this one opera, Fidelio, through his career, and he was never really happy with it. But still, at the same time, he did become the most popular composer of his time, and people knew his talent, and even through the sort of very lengthy periods of silence when he didn't come up with anything for 5 years or something like that, people knew that he's the greatest in a way. But an incredibly, incredibly strong character.
Pavly, do you play a certain type of piano, a certain brand of piano?
I'm certainly a big fan of Steinway, and even though we're in America, I must say that I'm a big fan of the European Steinway. I guess that's because we have those in Finland, and I have a couple of those myself. And I like very sort of a bright and clean piano sound, which can be bright also when it's very silent and when it's very quiet, and so Steinway it is.
And with Beethoven, of course, the piano was changing so much so quickly that it's really anyone's guess what a lot of those pieces sounded like when he played them.
Yes. They sounded very different, but like I said earlier, I think it's very difficult to think of sort of recreating that kind of sound world. I think that Beethoven's music more than it's more about the state of mind and dreams and sort of fears and darkness and light and night and day and these kind of things than sort of actual sounds. Even though, you know, when we're working on a piano, we have to be thinking about very specific sounds and if the piano has to be even and all that. But the essence of Beethoven's music is certainly not there. It's somewhere else.
Does it help you at all to know something about the biographical context of a piece before you play it, especially a piece by Beethoven?
It does. Most of the time I find it very inspirational. There are exceptions. I was working on a Messiaen piece earlier on this year, and I read his bio, and it was just very boring. It was about, you know, this year he wrote that piece, and then the next year he wrote that piece, and
A lot of them are like that.
Yeah, but Beethoven is such a fascinating character, and I've read some really, really funny and sort of revealing anecdotes about his life, the way he told his friends that he would like to learn to ride, and so he purchased a horse, and then everything was fine, and until like a couple of weeks after that, he forgot that he has a horse, and he forgot it into the stables for a couple of weeks. And some of his friends asked, "What's going on with the horse?" And he was like, "Oh my God, the horse been there. I hope someone's been taking care of it." And it was really this character that was mostly in touch with his own world rather than the world around him.
The inner versus the outer worlds.
Yeah.
Well, and particularly with the Emperor Concerto, he was almost entirely deaf, or his deafness was increasing, and he was very isolated in his world, in his head.
Yeah, he must have been. He really must have been. I think this was, yeah, he still sort of performed, premiered the piece, actually, but had great difficulty because of his hearing situation. He was pounding the keys and was not together with the orchestra and so on.
It was easier to break a piano back then, too.
I guess so.
Well, hopefully tonight you won't be breaking the piano and you'll be in sync with the orchestra.
All of the above you can count on, I'm sure.
Our guest, Pavel Yumpanen, will be performing with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra. He'll be doing the Beethoven Emperor Concerto this evening at 8 p.m. in the Capitol Theater of the Overture Center. You can find information by visiting wcoconcerts.org, or you can call for tickets at 608-258-4141. Our guest is Pavel Yumpanen, and if you want to find his music, either on iTunes or at the record store, it's spelled J-U-M-P-P-A-N-E-N, and you have many recordings.
Some other out there.
Mm-hmm. From yeah. Boulez to Beethoven to Bartok.
And now, back to Beethoven with the first movement of the Appassionata.
Our guest, Pavel Yumpanen.
Thank you.